We're holding on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, by the first Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had talked about that, which started talking about which kinds of women get a ksuba of 200 zuz and which ones get 100. We said a basula gets 200, an almana gets 100, and we talked about what if an almana is still a basula, meaning that she's an almana only from the erusin and there has not yet been nisuin. So continuing on that topic, the Mishnah says, Hagiyodis vashvuya vashifcha, Hagiyodis, or shvuya, Jewish woman who was captured by Goyim, which we're going to talk about that more extensively in the next perek, by Shivcha and a Shivcha Knanis. So all of those, there's a chazaka that while they were among the Goyim, they may have had relations. The Giyoris and the Giyoris and the Shivcha were goitis and they're promiscuous. And the Shvuya, we're going to talk about extensively in the next perek, there's the possibility that her captors may have raped her. So all of those, Shiniftu, Shiniskaidu, Shinishtafu, all of them, if they were redeemed from captivity or converted or freed as a shifcha, the order is out of order, but that's it's common sometimes that the Mishnah will do that, that doesn't bother about the Seder. So if that happened, when any of these women were less than 3 years old, now, even if they had relations under 3 years old, we say throughout Shas the besulim will grow back. Therefore, now we should expect to find them besulis. So therefore, ksubas and masayim. So therefore, their ksuba is going to be 200 zuz like any other besula. Or v'yeshla and tainus besulim, and the husband can have a tainus besulim on them because he can say after he married he discovered they're not a besula, as we talked about in the last couple of blat. Where there's the possibility that it depends. Again, either he might be saying, as we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, is he saying that he wants to say that it's a mekach tos and I shouldn't have to be married to her at all? Is he saying that I want to stay married, but it should be only a ksuba of 100 zuz rather than 200? So you have the various possibilities over there again, whether this, that they may have had relations, is there a possibility that it would be something that would make her osser to him? In this particular case, only with the shvuya would there be such an issue. With the giyodas and the shivcha, there it's a different matter. If they were below, if they're anyway possible to a koyin and to a yisrael, it wouldn't matter even if they had relations voluntarily when they were, whether they were above or below 3 years old. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off with a side point, which is going to tie back in to our Mishnah. Mishnah says, Amar Rav Huna, Ger katan matbilan oisei al das based in. When you have a minor ger, so let's say for example, he has no father. So Rashi says, let's say his mother is coming to bring him to be nisgayer. Nowadays, you have a somewhat common kind of thing where non-Jewish kids are adopted by Jewish couples. But the kid's goyish father is not in the picture, but it would be the same thing Rashi is mentioning over here, the typical example where the mother brings him. But in fact, the Ran says the same thing would be if the kid comes on his own, or as we have nowadays where they adopt him. Anyway, so matbilan oisei al das based in, they can toivel him al das based in, mean that based in on their own. On their own das can get together and can get together a panel of three, like you always need for the tevila of a ger, as we talked about in Yevamos. They stand, Rashi says, they stand in the place of her father, of his father, and therefore he becomes a valid ger, to the extent where Rashi says, for example, that wine he touches will be kosher. The point being, in other words, that so he's a full-fledged yid. So the point is, in other words, Beis Din may not be responsible. We learned at the end of Yevamos a topic about that Beis Din is not necessarily responsible for a katan to prevent him from doing averus. So they're not necessarily responsible on an ongoing basis to make sure that he does mitzvahs and doesn't do averus. But nevertheless, they do have the ability to say, therefore, that that wine that he touches remains kosher and doesn't become yainness. Tosfos discusses at some length over here about the ins and outs of that. How do we a cotton has no shlichus? So how can we do schus for him? And Tosfos discusses that the whole thing may only be dirabbana. So that gets into a discussion then whether the chachamim have the ability to override laws of the Torah, which we talked about in Yevamos. So all Gemara would be following the opinion that they do even on a kum vaseh, even when it's so they're in effect saying in a Torah this kid would still be a goy, but midrabanan we're going to make him a yid, and that would be valid for all purposes in halacha. There is actually an interesting point Rav Moshe makes in one of his Truvas that maybe nowadays at least they should toivel the kid again. after he becomes bar, we're going to talk about in a few lines in the Gemara, that the kid, when they become bar or bas mitzvah, has the ability to renounce their gerus. So sort of Moshe talks in one of his trovas that maybe nowadays it would be a good idea to be Megayer, that to be Megayer them Mechumra again after they're 12 or 13, just because nowadays in America, where you have so many people that are not Shomer Torah or mitzvahs, it's a little hard to say for sure that it's Zechus Uloi to become a yid, where unfortunately they may not end up keeping mitzvahs, and then it wouldn't be a schus for them. So therefore, better you should redo it after they become bar or bas mitzvah. I don't know whether they do that halacha l'maisa. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "My kamash malan." Now, what is Rav Huna's chiddush? Is schus uloi? The point Rav Huna is telling us is that it's a schus for a person to become a ger, and we don't need and v'zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav. And that we know that you can make a schus for a person not in his presence. So in this case, he's present, but he doesn't have das. So is that what Rav Huna is telling us? In that case, tanena. Well, in that case, we learn a braisa that says that zochim la'adam shalai b'fanav vein chavim la'adam shalai b'fanav. You can create a schus for a person even shalai b'fanav, even without his das. But a choiv you can only create with his das. So if we say that it's a schus for him, then what's the chiddush? So actually, the Shittim Kubetzis talks about that since the Gemara brought both halves of the Braisa, the Ein Chavin Loyla Adam Shalei B'Fanav, it implies only if it's a total choiva is going to be there going to be a problem. If it's something sort of in between, now certainly the Gemara is assuming that Geirus is not a total choiva. There may be a choiva aspect in it because now he's chayev in mitzvahs where he wasn't before. But the Gemara is assuming that at least it's somewhere between a schos and a choiva, and therefore that it should be fine. So in that case, then Rav Huna is not telling us any chiddush based on the braisa over the braisa. The answer is ma'u detema. Without Rav Huna telling us, you would think in fact it's not a schos at all. You could argue that a goy wants hefkerus. He wants to live a life where he can do whatever he wants. After all, we know that that's true of an eved knani, we say in other places in Chas, likes his hefkerus, and therefore he would rather. So like this, when he's an eved, when he's an eved, he's chayev in certain mitzvahs, but in particular, he's allowed to have relations with any shifcha he wants. He's also in a bas yisrael, but there's no concept of marriage for him. He's allowed to be with any shifcha he wants, so he likes that kind of hefkerus. So Tosfos teaches out, to be exact. Now, you do have a machloikas on that in Gittin, whether avdav hefker nichalei or not. What we're talking about, that's when you're talking about, so an eved, you can say, okay, there's a certain advantage because now he becomes a ben chodin. Before he was a slave, now he becomes free. So in that sense, there's a schus for him. But certainly, when it comes to a goy who's already a ben chodin, then at least according to the mayor's perspective, that even by an eved, we would say, avdebef keren nichalei, certainly we would say that all the more by a goy. So then you would think, therefore, that bef keren nichalei, kamash malan, therefore, Rav Huna tells us that no, dahani mili godo. That only applies to an adult. The Tom Tam the Isura. He's already in his lifetime tasted what Isurim are. He's experienced the various kinds of things that are mutter to Goyim and also to Jews. So therefore, he might well want to remain a Goy, and therefore we can't be Megayer him Baal Korchoy or without his das or whatever. Avokatan, but a child who hasn't really been through that, schus, although you can say that for him it's a schus, and therefore, so there's no befker nichale, and therefore that's Rav Huna's chiddush to be aware that it is a schus. Once we know that it's a schus for him, then yeah, we know the Braisa tells us zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav. But Rav Huna's main chiddush is the fact that the gerus for him as a child is in fact a schus. Okay, so the Gemara says lema mesayale. Now that we establish that, now can we say that the following our Mishnah supports him. Our Mishnah had said, "Agiyuras v'ashvuyah v'ashivcha shenifdu v'shenisgaidu v'shenishtachru pusis v'nais shaloshanim yemechad." We talked about the various cases where these women were freed or released or whatever within when they were less than 3 years old. Where then again we say, even if they lost their b'sulim at under 3 years old, they'll grow back. So now one of the cases we mentioned is agiyuras. So what's the case? How does a giyuris, how does a woman become, how does a girl become a giyuris below 3 years old? My lab dat belinu al das beistin. Wouldn't it have to be bepashtus where they toveled them with the das of the beistin? So in that case, then our Mishnah would bear out what Rav Huna is saying, that in fact you can do that. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, because hoch loy, not necessarily, hoch maeskinen, begershin is gairu bonav of nois of imoy. you could say that we're talking about where the father himself, or the parents together, whatever, became Gerim, and his sons and his daughters with them, with him. So then, then we can argue that then that they like that the that they would rather go along with what their father is doing. If the father is becoming a ger, then they would like to do the same thing. But not necessarily would that show when we were talking about at the beginning, we said where the father is not around anymore, and if the mother brings him, or we said the Ran said even he brings himself, then okay, a 3-year-old is not bringing herself, whatever. The point is that somebody else, is some other guardian of hers, is bringing her, not necessarily is the Mishnah talking about that. Rav Huna then is telling so Rav Huna is telling us a chiddush that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah, namely our Mishnah again could be talking about where she converted together with her father, together with her parents, and Rav Huna is talking about even when it's not with her father or not with her parents, b'chalal, that it works. Now, the Gemara continues, though. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Higdilu, now Rabbi Yosef continues on that topic, that when the child becomes older, Yecholim Limchos, then they're able to be Moiche. And here Rashi says, actually, this applies even if they were Nisgaya with their father. Even though we just said they would like to go along with what their father does, that's by default, we assume that. But when they get older, when they become bar or bas mitzvah, they're able to be moicha and saying, you know what, we don't want to be geirim, and they go back to being goy. Now, Rashi points out, if this had happened, for example, if they had been full-fledged geirim, for example, an adult becomes a ger, and then he says, you know what, I don't want it anymore, then Beis Din would actually have the power to punish him, because when the next time he doesn't have era, he's a yid, he's a yisrael mumma. But here, he's not. We say that it undoes the geirus completely. And Rashi also adds that it means, for example, if later on he were to be Makadish, a Jewish woman, she wouldn't need a get. Had it been an adult ger, there's no possibility of being moicha. You can't undo a gerus. So therefore, we'd be considered a Yisrael woman, and his kedushin would be valid kedushin. But now this kid is not, because it's considered as though they weren't a ger in the first place. So the Gemara says, Eis v'abayis. Abayis says, I have a contradiction to you, Rabbi Yosef. Our Mishnah had said, Hagiyuris v'ashvuyah v'ashifa, sh'niftu v'shin isgayru v'shin ishtachru v'pussis v'nei shalashan v'yamech v'ksubasim v'asayim, that we have the case, including of a Giyuris, where we say she gets a ksuba of 200. Now, v'isakadayta chigdilu yichodim limchos. Now, Abaya asks, you're telling me that when she gets older, she can be moicha, and we're assuming, Abaya is assuming in his question, that she could be moicha at any time. It sounds like, for the way Rabbi Yosef had said it generically, it sounds like she could be moicha not just when she turns 12. She could be moicha when she's 20. She could be moicha when she's 50 or whatever. So then what's the logic? How can we tell the husband to give her a ksuba when later on she can be moicha, and now she's going to end up having that money as a goita? Now a goita doesn't have a ksuba. So in other words, the point is, That it's not that we have anything against her having money, but on the other hand, we'll say a ksuba is something specifically for Jews. We don't want to give her a ksuba in such a way that it's going to end up retroactively that she was a goita, because then she shouldn't be getting a ksuba in the first place. So what's the logic? If you're telling me, Mela, if you tell me Rav Huna's din, that cotton matbilanos al das based din, then good. It means she's a giyotis, and that's that. But if you, Rav Yosef, all of a sudden are telling us now that she can be moicha at any time, then why should we be assigning her a ksuba? And the answer is l'chi godba. The answer is, you're right. Rav Yosef does not mean that she has forever to be moicha. She can be moicha only until she becomes only when she becomes a gola. So what we do is, in other words, we would put the money for the meanwhile in escrow. Until then, we'd put the money in escrow, and then once she gets past that point, once she gets to be a gola, then we can give it to her. So again, the Gemara asks, the Gemara didn't understand that l'chi godla means that's the deadline. It sounds like l'chi godla nami mimchi of nafka. Still, after she becomes a gola, it sounds like she could be moicha and still go out from being a Jewish woman and going back to being a goita. And the answer is no. The answer is kiven shehigdila. Once she became a gola, once she became bas mitzvah, shah achas, for even a short time, v'loy michsa, and she was not moicha, shuv eini yechodah limchos, then she can no longer be moicha, and then therefore, so now, at that point, we can give her the ksuba money, because at that point, she's a Jewish woman, and it's irrevocable. Now, the interesting question is then, so when exactly is she supposed to be moicha? Tosfos Yeshanim points out the question. I mean, when she's a katana, she doesn't yet have das to be moicha. When she becomes a, she's going to be moicha the second she develops shteis ayiros. You can't time it that exactly. So Tosfos Yeshanim, in fact, says that what it would have to be is if she wanted to go back to being a goita, it would have to be that she started acting as a goita before she became bas mitzvah and then continued that for a period of time after she became. So in other words, she'd have to be acting as a goita for a period of time in order for that to work. Tosfos explains differently. Only if she acts with minag yehudis, the minag of Jewish women, after she becomes a goyla, only then would be say that she's a Jew. In other words, according to Tosfos, by default, we would say that if she becomes bas mitzvah and she doesn't do anything specifically Jewish, then she still could be moicha. So in other words, it would only be the first, according to Tosfos, only the first time that she actually specifically does something Jewish would we say that now it's irrevocable. So that's that. And Tosfos showed him again and said the other way around, that would have to actually be the other way around, that she actually started literally doing goyisha things, eating non-kosher food or whatever before bas mitzvah and continued that afterwards. There's other explanations on it as well. There's also Tosfos Rid on the side of it here has an interesting explanation. He says that the girl, even below bas mitzvah, can already have a degree of das. So you don't need, like Tosfos Yeshanim says, to wait until she develops shteis ayiros, and how is she going to know when that's going to happen? Rather, according to the Tosfos Rid, as soon as she has enough das to understand what's the difference between a Jew and a goy, she would actually already at that point be able to be moicha. So you have the actual halacha here is that they have to actually be moicha. I think it's not more like the Tosfos Yeshanim. They actually have to be moicha and do something obviously not Jewish. I think otherwise by default we assume that they're a Jew, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway. And there is, you know, as you can imagine, there's quite a lot of Shilas Atrumas literature on this topic, especially in recent decades, where it became more common for families to become gerim together, and where it's more common for people to adopt children and so forth. So you have quite a bit of a discussion about it in the Shilas Atrumas literature. One interesting thing, actually, is the Rif doesn't bring this whole thing about Rabbi Yosef, about a gilui chol limchas. The Rambam brings it, and Shulchan Aruch brings it. The Rif leaves it out. So the Ran says that maybe, in fact, the Rif would hold that it only applies if the child become a geru giyoris on their own, but not, like we were saying before, Rashi had said that the dinim we're talking about over here are this Higdilu Yecholim Limchos applies even if they became a ger together with their father. The Ran points out, according to the Rif, maybe not. Maybe if they became a ger with their father, then it's irrevocable anyway. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Masiv Rava. So now Rava asks another question on Rabbi Yosef. We learn at the beginning of the third perek of our Masechta, we're going to talk about the dinim of Oynes and Mefata, or the dinim when a man rapes or seduces a naira. We're going to have two perakim actually on the ins and outs of that. So the Mishnah starts off there. Elu nairas yesh lahen knas. The following girls, even though they're posel lovei b'kahal, even though there's some kind of thing that makes them posel to intermarry freely in the Jewish people, nevertheless yesh lahen knas. There still is a knas if a man rapes or seduces them. And among them are, the Mishnah starts saying, Habala Mamzeres, if he has relations with a Mamzeres. So even though Mamzeres is a psula, she's not allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people, nevertheless, she's still a Naira psula, so she has a knas. So the knas is still paid. Habala Nesina, or Nesina, which we learned about in Yevamos, about the Nesinim, the descendants of the Givonim, who are not allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people. Habala Kosis, or Kosis, which is the Kosim that we also had about a lot about them. We have a lot about them throughout Shas, the descendants of the Goyish colonists that Sancheirev brought to repopulate out Israel after the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Golos. And we have Machloikus throughout Shas, whether the Geire Emes or Geire Arayas. And we're talking about over here, Kosis, and we'll talk about in the third parak whether we're talking about according to the opinion that they're Geire Arayas or Geire Emes. Anyway. Continues the Mishnah, Vala Giyoris, Vala Shvuya, Vala Shifcha. Also, if you had relations with the Giyoris, Shvuya, Shifcha, Shiniftu, Shiniskaido, Shishtaka, Pussis, Mes Shalashanam Yemechad, where they were freed from captivity or Nisgaya or freed from slavery less than 3 years and a day old. Whereas we said in our Mishnah, we assume they still have their Bsulim because even if they had relations before that, their Bsulim would grow back. So all of those, the Mishnah says, Yeshlahan Knas, all of those, there is a Knas for them, meaning, because if they hadn't been a basula, then there wouldn't be a knas. So again, Rava asked, "E amati dulu yecholim limchos." So you're going to ask the same question as before. If you're saying, Rabbi Yosef, that once the girl becomes older, she could be moicha, same question. How could we give her a knas, money of a knas, which she's going to end, which she could conceivably end up eating as a goyish girl, because she could be moicha and go back to being a goita. And again, as a goita, she's not entitled to this knas. This knas is something specifically for Jewish girls. So doesn't that show that she can't be moicha? And the Gemara answers again, l'chi godla. Again, like before, we're answering that only when she becomes older is she going to be able to be moicha. So here's where Tosfos says actually that since once she becomes a gola, that the whole concept of the knas is only when she becomes a naira, which is itself a gola. We're actually going to talk about later on in the Masechta whether the knas applies to a katana as well, but it definitely applies to a naira, and a naira by definition is a gdola. So here's where Tosfos says what we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, that even though once she starts doing minag yehudis, only once she starts acting as a Jewish girl does, only then do we say that it's confirmed that she's a Jewish woman. Up until that point, she still would have the ability to be moicha, even if she wasn't doing anything specifically goyish, but she didn't do anything specifically Jewish either, any particular mitzvah, then we would still say that, says Tosfos, she has the ability to undo the geirus. Anyway, so we're answering the chigodla, but again, the question is the chigodla nami mimchi of nafta. Again, you could argue that once she becomes a gdola, she's going to be able to be moicha and leave and become a goita and then go back to being a goita. And the answer is no. Like we said before, once even a short time passed and she wasn't moicha, then she can't be moicha anymore. So now at that point, we can give her the knas. So according to Tosfos Yishanim, it would be that she would have had to be moicha shortly before she became a gdola, and then continue in that machal for a few days afterwards. According to Tosfos, it's the other way around. If she hasn't yet done minig yehudis, then she still has the ability to be moicha. But once she starts doing minig yehudis, then she can't anymore. And according to the Tosfos who did, you don't even need that. She could be moicha even before she's bas mitzvah, and that would already take effect. Okay, so we have now Abaya and Rava, each one used a different Mishnah to ask on Rabbi Yosef. Abaya used our Mishnah, but not the Mishnah from Elu Nairus and from the third Perek, and Rava used the Mishnah from the third Perek and not our Mishnah. So now, why did each one of them pick a different one? Abaya loy omaka Rava. Abaya didn't want to use the Mishnah that Rava asked from about Knas in the third Perek, because he could say the reason is Hossam, Knossa, because you know what? There you're talking about a Knas. You're penalizing the man who had relations with her. So yeah, I can give you a reason. You know what? You could say even then, maybe we don't care so much that she's going to go to being a goita. Big deal. She'll be a goita. But on the other, the flip side is we don't want to have, what are we going to say? Because she potentially could end up becoming a goita, because she could end up conceivably undoing her geirus. Therefore, you're going to allow the man who did something wrong, who was onus or mafato, you're going to let him get off scot-free and not pay. So Abaye says, no. Whether, even in that Mishnah, we could say that maybe, in fact, she could be moicha even at a much older age, and still, we're going to require the guy to pay the knas, because we don't want him to get away. We don't want him to get away scot-free. Whereas Tosfos says, Rava would say that's not a reason enough to take money away from him. So that's why Abaye didn't want to use that Mishnah as a basis to ask on Rabbi Yosef. Meanwhile, the Rava like Omaka Abaye, Rava in turn did not want to ask like Abaye from our Mishnah, because he could say Ksuba Haina Taima, Shalote Kalaba Ein of Lahitzia. Look, the whole reason for the Ksuba is because you don't want to make it so easy for him to divorce. So he should realize that there's a financial consequence involved. So therefore, so you could say, that's why in our Mishnah, we don't care even maybe if conceivably in later years she could be moicha and revert to being a goita, and then we're going to say she's still going to have the money. The fact is, while she was married to her husband, then you could say you still wanted a ksuba so that shalote kalabein of lahitzia. So that wouldn't be a valid reason to take that away from her. But Rava figured, when it comes to Elu Nairus, when it comes to the knas, just because, yes, the guy did something wrong, that's not reason enough to take money away from him. Therefore, Rava preferred to ask from our Mishnah rather than from that Mishnah. Or therefore, Rava preferred rather to ask from that Mishnah in the third parak rather than from our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, you could say there's a good reason to make him have to pay the knas, to have to make him pay the ksuba regardless. Okay. Mishnah continues. Hagadosh Abalaktana, if a gadol, if a boy 9 year old or over, where we've already, so gadol usually means 13 and over, but really actually we learned already in we learned already in Yevamos that a 9 year old bia is already considered a bia in halacha. So here for that purpose, a gadol means that. Shabalaktana, if he had relations with a tana who was less than 3 years old, where, as we said, the basulim will grow back. There's a fascinating thing in this connection, by the way, that's mentioned in various places in Chassidus. There's a Yerushalmi that says the 3 years are literally until her third birthday. So what would happen, the Yerushalmi talks about, let's say you have a girl was born almost 3 years ago, and it's about to be her third birthday, and therefore her basulim would not grow back anymore if something were to happen. And now, let's say, Beis Din decide that we need to have an Ibuyar. So their decision that there's going to be an Ibuyar changes the actual facts on the ground and makes it that now Hashem makes it, Hashem will make nature follow what the Beis Din says and make it that her basulim will still be able to grow back for another month. Yerushalmi mentions in this connection, the pasuk Wakeo Goymer Aloy, that Hashem completes, that Hashem makes it, Hashem makes what Beis Din here on earth decides complete and makes it work out with the actual facts on the ground. Anyway. So here we have, so she was a ketana below three, so her basulim will grow back. He himself was a gadol, so therefore his bia is a bia, or vice versa, katan, the katan, or vice versa, katan shebaal agdola, who had, so he was below nine, so his bia is not considered a bia. Shebaal agdola, and he had relations with a girl who's 3 years older, and umukas eight, or also a woman who was injured by wood, where now she has no physical basulim anymore, but in all these cases she may not have physical basulim anymore, but nevertheless subos and masayim, all of these women have a ksuba of 200, because Rashi makes the point, because he married her stam. He didn't specifically say, if he had specifically said that I'm marrying you only on Manasseh, that you're a Basula, then that would be a different matter. Then we'd have to get into that, whether she forfeits the Ksuba or at least part of it or whatever. But here, where he married her, Stam, then you don't have any of that. The Gemara, by the way, talks about in different other places. We're going to have it later on in our Masechta as well. We can say there can be Kiddushin al-Tanai. Is there Nisuin al-Tanai? And or do we say that when he does Nisuin, then at that point he's Mavatal any Tanoim that he made? In that case, then it doesn't matter whether he made a Tanai at the Kiddushin or not. But here we could be talking about, let's say there were places, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, there were places where they used to write the Ksuba right after the Erusin, and then he's already on the hook for the Ksuba, already beginning from the Erusin. So then in that case, then whether he does al-Tanai or not would be relevant. Anyway. So divid of mayor, that's what a mayor says. All of them get ksuba of 200. The Chum say that no, we agree by the other two. So we're going to see actually whether the Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir on the first two cases or not. But the Chachamim say explicitly here in the Mishnah that a mukas eitz gets only 100, because the fact is she has no basura. Continues the Mishnah. Basula almona grusha v'chalutza min anisuin. What if the woman is a basula? She still has her physical basulim, but she's an amona or grusha or chalutza min hanisuin. So she and her first husband had already done nisuin. Keep in mind, you have erusin, or otherwise known as kiddushin. Then you have nisuin, which is the chuppah. And then after that, you have the first relations. Now you could conceivably have where they did the nisuin, but they haven't yet had first relations. So she could still physically be a basula. Nevertheless, though, once the nisuin was done, then we assume that already, usually the next thing after Nisuin is usually having relations. Nisuin, especially, we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, a few possibilities, what Nisuin, otherwise known as Chuppah, is. And one of them is, it means the Yichud room, there's a very high likelihood that in fact they had relations over there. So therefore, if later on she's divorced or widowed and someone else remarries her, then we assume already that she's a Ba'ula, because we assume that already we assume that he married her Amanas, knowing full well that she's like, that she already has a chazaka of being a Ba'ula. So unlike Mishnah and Yudam and Beis, at the bottom of Yudam and Beis, which said that if she was an Amon or Grusha of a Cholotz Mina Erusin, then she gets a Ksuba of 200, here it was Mina Nisuin, because after Nisuin, there's already a Chazaka that in fact she already had relations. The Imran Tainis Basulim, and if the husband finds that she's not a Basula, then he has no claim about it, because he can't say it was a Mekach Torus or anything. He knew marrying her as a Nisua, there's a high likelihood that she's no longer a Basula. And the Mishnah continues similarly. a gioras, or a woman who was taken prisoner, or a shifcha, shenifdu, shenisgadu, shenishtachu, yuseiras abnos shalosh shanim yemechad, where they were freed from captivity, or nisgaya, or freed from slavery, when they were older than three. Same thing. There's the problem that they may have had relations already, and after three, the basulim are not going to grow back. So therefore, ksubos and mana, so they get a ksuba of only 100, and none of them is there. Does the husband have a tainus basulim? Because when he married them, he knew there's a good chance they're no longer a basula. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, katan abala gdola asom mukas eight. If a katan who's below 9 years old, if he has relations with a gdola, So even though his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, but nevertheless, it can physically damage her basulim. So therefore, asam mukas eitz. So therefore, so Rav Yehuda says, name of Rab, that in effect makes her mukas eitz. So therefore, so we're going to have now the machlokas in our mishnah whether she's going to get 100 or 200 zuz as the ksuba. In other words, Rashi says, look, his bia is not a bia, but nevertheless, it's still his bia is still not worse than a piece of wood getting stuck in there. So therefore, according to the Chacham of our Mishnah, Huksuba is going to be a mana. It means also, now we learned in Yevamos that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Mukas Eitz because he has a mitzvah in the Torah to marry a Basula. Same thing. It would mean that he can't marry a woman, even if she's had relations with a man, with a boy below 9 years old. So the Rashba points out now that the point is that the bia of a below 9 year old is generally not even going to remove absulim, but nevertheless an actual bia was done, and therefore she can still be considered a mukas eitz even if the actual physical krum, the actual physical membrane of the absulim, still exists. Nevertheless, we'd still consider that there's sort of a pagam there. There's a defect, a blemish. She's not a full fledged basula, and therefore we would consider her a mukas eitz. So Rabbi Yehuda continues, Ki Amrita Kamei de Shmuel, when I told this over to Shmuel, now Rav passed away, and then Shmuel was the head Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. Up until that point, Rav and Shmuel had their separate yeshivas in Surah and in Nahardar, respectively. After Rav passed away, Rabbi Yehuda and other of his Talmidim came to Shmuel, and Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years. So we find many places in Shas where Rabbi Yehuda says something in the name of Rav, and then he told it over to Shmuel, and Shmuel disagreed with it. So he says, when I told that over to Shmuel, Omar, so Shmuel said, no, ein mukas eitz bebosser. There cannot be a mukas eitz through flesh. So either you're considering her a ba'ula, a woman who's had relations, or you consider her or nothing. There's no possibility of her being mukas eitz. And since you're not considering her to be a ba'ula, because after all, the boy was below 9 years old and his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, then therefore Shmuel says it's not considered mukas eitz at all. And therefore, in that case, her ksuba would be 200 and she'd be allowed to marry a kohen gadol. Now Tosfos does say, if he actually removed the basulim, then yeah, okay, she has to be a mukas eitz. But we're talking about where he didn't, like we said before, that's what the Rashba says, we're talking about not necessarily did he physically remove the basulim. So Rav had argued, even though the physical basulim are still there, nevertheless, there's a pagam, there's still a certain defect, a certain blemish in her basulim, and therefore she's considered a mukas eitz. Shmuel will say no. But Tosfos says, if the basulim were actually removed, of course she's got to be like a mukas eitz. So the Gemara says, "Ikad the masnim la hashmaita ba'apinapsha." Now we learned this in connection with our Mishnah. The first version was that we had it as Rabbi Yehuda telling us what Rav had said, and then what Shmuel had reacted. So ikad the masnim la hashmaita ba'apinapsha. There were others who learn it as by itself without Rabbi Yehuda saying anything, but just a direct machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Katna ba'ala gdola Rav ama asam mukas eitz or Shmuel ama in mukas eitz b'basim. So the same thing, but the difference is whether Rabbi Yehuda told us what Rav said and then what Shmuel said, or whether we know ourselves that Rav and Shmuel, without Rabbi Yehuda telling us, that Rav and Shmuel argued on that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mosi Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia says, I have a contradiction to Rav. We say in our Mishnah, Godol Shabalak Tana, Uktana of Katna Balak Galo, Mukaseit. We said we have three cases in our Mishnah. A Godol, a 9 year old, had relations with a Katana below 3 year old. Or a cotton below 9 had relations with a gdola above 3. So in both cases, so in the first case, again, you have, he's a gadol, his bia is a bia, but her basulim will grow back. In the second case, we said the other way around, his bia is not a bia, but her basulim, if they're gone, then they're gone. And mukaset, ksubas and masayim diri Rameir. Rameir says all three of those, ksubah is 200.
Chachamim Mukaseit Ktuba Samana, and the Chum say Mukaseit gets 100. Now, it sounds like the Chachamim are arguing only on the third case. It sounds like the Chachamim would agree with Reb Meir on the first two cases. So that fits with Shmuel. So in particular, let's focus on the second case, Katna Baal Agdola. According to Shmuel, that works out very well. Because he's a katan, unless he actually physically removed her b'sulim, like Tosfos says, then just the fact that he had bia with her doesn't matter because his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, and it doesn't create any pagam like Rav is saying. So therefore, the Chachamim would agree that she gets a ksuba of 200. But if you're telling me that, Rav, you're telling me that she doesn't get a ksuba of 200, then the Chachamim should be arguing in that case also. And the answer is, Amar Rav HaHachi Kamar. You can say that Rav would explain the Mishnah as follows. Gadol HaBaal HaKtana V'loi Klum. If he's 9 and she's below 3, then it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't make her lose anything because the Pachas Mekan can nois an etzba ba'ayin gam. Because when she's less than 3, it's like putting a finger into an eye. Meaning the Mishnah elsewhere uses that metaphor. In other words, like you stick a finger in your eye. It causes tears to come out, but tears will keep on coming out. They don't dry up. In the same vein, we say that if she was below 3 and she loses her besulim, they will grow back. Well, obviously, when we say, you don't mean, it obviously can have other effects on her. We're not getting into that. We're not talking about the psychological effects and all that. We're talking about the physical effects. We're saying the besulim will grow back. So therefore, so that's what the Mishnah means then, that v'loy klum, that it's as if, so everybody would agree then that she has a ksuba of 200. But then in the second case, now continues the Mishnah. This is the way Rav would explain the Mishnah, that if he was a cotton and she was a gdola, where now her b'sulim are not going to grow back anymore. So even if he didn't physically damage her b'sulim, nevertheless, I saw mukaseit, by doing that, he makes her a mukaseit. In other words, Rav, in effect, is saying that's as if a chsuri mechsur, as if like the Mishnah is missing a phrase. So he makes her a mukas eitz, and which is what Rav would hold, vim mukas eitz gufa. And when you come to a mukas eitz herself, pluk the dirameh of Rabbanan, then you have a machlokes rameh and the chachamim, what the din is, whether she gets 200 or 100 for her ksuba. So Rav would explain the Mishnah, in other words, that the Mishnah is not talking about, that the Mishnah is talking about three cases, but the last two are basically the same thing. Gadol katna baal agdola is basically the same thing as mukas eitz, according to Rav, and therefore in both of them, Reb Meir and the Chachamim would be disagreeing. As opposed to, according to Shmuel, we would say the first two cases of the Mishnah, the Chachamim would in fact agree, that Ksubas Masayim, and only in the third case, where Mukas Eitz, would they be arguing. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rami Bachama, Machloikas Peshehikirba. The whole Machloikas is, in our Mishnah, is only when he knew, when he married her and wrote the Ksuba, he knew already that she's a Mukas Eitz, and he married her. He married her almanas that, which the Shita Mukabetzis points out that it's not even we. It doesn't even matter, like we said before, at the bottom of Amar Aleph. It wouldn't even matter whether at the time of the Kiddushin he knew or not. As long as at the time of the Nisuin he knows of it and writes out the Ksuba, then we would say, like we said before, even if he had said the Kiddushin or almanas that she's a Basula, but nevertheless by the time of the Nisuin he's obviously being Mevatel that. So if he knew of that. So now, did a mayor medamilo la begeres? So now, the mayor compares a mukas eitz to a begeres. Now, a begeres was already half a year past her bas mitzvah, so already her besulim are anyway not intact. Bechlau, the Rambam talks about in connection with the whole discussion that on Daf Yud, Pesach Pasuach, the Rambam explains as a woman gets older, the muscles they naturally relax and stretch anyway, and therefore you don't really find Pesach, but you don't really find like this we discussed before Pesach Pasuach. The husband may claim that it wasn't as tight as he expected, but by a begeris you don't really find that anymore anyway. By a begeris you expect it to be looser anyway. So that's in a certain sense a basula does not a begeris does not really have full basula many. More anyway, the membrane stretches out and then shrinks and whatever, and therefore, so there's not really such a tinus basulim with a begeris anyway. It's more with a katana or a naira. So the mayor compares her to a begeris and saying, listen, a begeris. The fact is that the basulim are not as strong as they were when she was younger. Nevertheless, she still has a ksuba of 200. So therefore, mukaseit is no different than that. Whereas the Chachamim compare a mukas eitz to a ba'ula, to a woman who's already had relations, because the fact is something went in there. So therefore, so they're saying that she only gets 100. But says Rami Bachama, if he didn't know when he married her that she was Mukas Eitz, Divrei Hakol V'loy Klum, that both the mayor and the Chachamim would agree that there's no Ksuba at all because he married her thinking that she was a Besula, and now it turns out that he's a Mekach Tos. So we said before there can be, if you make a T'nai, then he might be Mevatel with T'nai before he married. But here we're not even talking about there was a T'nai. He married her thinking that she's a Besula. He wrote out a Ksuba saying that she's a Besula. And now it turns out that not. So he can argue that it's a Mekach Tos and he goes to Beis Din and that he has does Tainus Besulam over there. And if it turns out that it's correct that she's not a Besula, then in fact she has no Ksuba at all, according to Rami Bacham. So the Gemara asks, Rav Meir, Amai Medami Lo LeBageres, knew, why does Rav Meir compare her to a Begeres? Nedamia Lebu'ula, why indeed doesn't he agree if Rami Bachama is saying the fundamental point of the Machloikas is she like a Be'ula? Is she like a Begeres, where her Besulim naturally stretch out as she gets older, but not a Be'ula, not that she actually had relations, and the Chachamim are saying we consider her more like a Be'ula. Well, why would Rav Meir consider her more like a Begeres? Nedamia Lebu'ula, why doesn't he compare her to a Be'ula? And the answer is Be'ula is Abed B'mais B'de'adam. Because the fact is, Be'ula, something was done by human agency. A person, a man, had relations with her. Ha, when it comes to a Mokaset, Lo is Abed B'mais B'de'adam. Nothing happened B'de'adam. It was a natural thing that happened that she got injured. So therefore, you can compare it, Rameh says, to a Begeris, which is also a natural thing as she gets older that her Besulim stretch out. Okay, V'rabbanon, Adam Damulo Be'ula Nedamulo Begeris. Well, let's ask according to the Chachamim. Instead of comparing her to a Be'ula, why don't they compare her to a Begeris? And the answer is Begeris lo yisaved b'maisa klal, because the fact is a Begeris, nothing was done at all. Her Besulim naturally stretch out and weaken and whatever, but nothing was actually done to damage them at all. Ho yisaved b'maisa, the fact is here, something was done. She was injured by a piece of wood, which caused her to lose her Besulim. So therefore, the Chachamim figure that more logically, it makes more sense to compare her to a Be'ula. Okay, so now, so let's let's figure out. We said so far then that according to Rami Bachama, there's a difference whether hikurba or loy hikurba. We're saying if hikurba, that if he knew when he married her that she's not a besula anymore, that she's a mukas eitz, then the Chachamim are going to say that she still has a ksuba of 100, and her mayor is going to say 200 even. But if loy hikurba, then we're saying both the mayor and the Chachamim would agree that it's a mekach tos and she has no ksuba at all. So let's analyze that. We said So you're telling me if you didn't know when he married her that she wasn't a Besula, then everybody would read both the Chachamim and Rameh, which she gets would say she gets nothing. Masir Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says I have a contradiction on that. A Mishnah, a couple of blocks further, says along a case where he marries her and finds that she's not a Besula. He emeres mukas eitz ani. She claims that I was a mukas eitz. Vehu oimer, and the husband says loyki ella drusas ishat. And he says, no, not so. And actually, we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara. It's not that he's saying a tainus vade, he's saying a tainus suffet. He's saying maybe you had relations with a man. Drusas literally means stepped on. In other words, maybe you had relations with a man, and therefore, so it would be a mekachtos. So what happens? The Mishnah says, Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer oimim nam menes. Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that we can believe her, that she's a mukas eitz. And Rav Yeshua goes on in the Mishnah to say over there, loimim pion uchayin, and say that he disagrees. Now you can have a case where she's mukas eitz after the erusin. That would be a different case. That's we talked about it. We had at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We had something called mistachfa sadehu, where she can say your field Beis Amud Beis whatever. That she can say your field was flooded. In other words, it's your bad mazel. You did kedushin with me already when I was still a basula. Afterwards, I had an accident and I became a mukas eitz. That's your tough luck. I still get my 200. But here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about where she says Mokas Eitzah, you see, before you were ever Mekadosh. And also the Pnei Yeshua points out, it can't be, when we talk about what is she Nam Menes on, it can't be that we're saying Nam Menes, that she's saying that I'm not also to you, and he's saying Jerusas Ish, and therefore you're also to me. The Pnei Yeshua says you can't say that because after all, we're talking about he's not claiming that because the Mishnah is not if he meant to say if he's claiming that she had relations after the Erusin, the Mishnah would have said so. It doesn't say so, implying that he's claiming he had relations before the Erusin. Well, then those don't ask her to him. So the only question is on the Ksuba. So Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that we believe her. So even though he didn't know she was a Mukas Eitz, we're still saying that she has a Ksuba, at least according to Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer. Whereas according to Rabbi Bachama, we're saying nobody holds that she has a ksuba. So therefore, Ella Omar Rava, so Rava says no. Based on that Mishnah, then Rami Bachama's shita does not work. So rather, Rava says no. It's like this: Bain hikuba, bain ubain le hikuba. Whether he knew when he married her that she was a mukas eitz or he did not. Lura Meir Mosayim. According to the Meir, either way she gets 200 zuras because, like we said before, the Meir compares a mukas eitz to a ba'ula, not to a ba'ula, to a begeras, and a begeras regardless gets 200. The question is, loy hikuba. What happens if he whether hikuba or loy hikuba, lura Meir Mosayim, lura bana. According to the Rabbanan, there's a difference. If he knew at the time of the wedding that she was a mukaseit, then she gets her mona. But if he didn't realize at the time that, and therefore we can say that there was a mekach tos, then therefore that is when we would say, that she doesn't get anything. So the Mishnah later on would be according to the Meir, not according to the Chachamim. The problem with Rami Bachama was that it seemed, since he said that everybody agrees that there can be a case where she doesn't get anything, loy hikuba, then she doesn't get anything, then how could Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, then we have opinions over there, the Mishnah, saying that that she would get, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, rather, saying that she would get a ksuba. So according to Rami Bachama, it didn't fit, because neither the Chachamim nor the Meir would hold it. Now, they're all Tanoim, of course, they can argue with each other, but still, the Mishnah has to be phrased according to one Tana, according to either the Meir or the Chachamim, and within that opinion, we'll have the difference of whether we believe her about the, claiming that she was Mukas Eitz, or whether we believe him that she was Durusasish. But now that we have Rava telling us that there's a case where that even according to the mayor, you can have a case of loy hikuba and she still gets a ksuba. Well, then that's the argument over there on the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Gimel would be within Rav Meir's opinion would be what are Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer versus Rav Yeshua hold. So that's how Rava explains it. However, the Gemara says Vahodur Bei Rav, but Rava ended up changing his mind and saying that regardless that there's no mekach tos, because we don't assume that a person is going to undo, we don't understand that a person is going to undo his whole marriage just because he found her not a b'sula. He may not be happy with it. He wanted to marry a b'sula, but he's not going to go say the whole thing was a mekach tos and undo the whole marriage because of that. Rava changed his mind. So originally, Rava didn't have that svara, but now he has that svara. D'tanya, and we know that because we learn in a b'raisa, Kate said haitzoras shemna. How does Hoitzoras Shemra work? Now, the Torah tells us in Parashas Kisetze, we're going to talk about it in great detail in the fourth parak of our Masechta, where a husband comes after he has relations with his wife the first time, he comes and claims Lematzasi Besulim, and he's claiming not just like we said that maybe she's a Mokas Eitz or maybe whatever, he's actually claiming that she actually was Mizana Berotzen after the Erusin, in which case, she's also to him, she'd be Chayav Misa. So how does that procedure work? So Bala based in. So the pasuk describes what you do. If it turns out that he's true and there are edim to substantiate it, and whatever, then yes, we give her skila. If not, then we give him malchus for being moitzi shemra on a Jewish woman, and we make him pay a fine, and he's never allowed to divorce her. So the braisa over here that we're going to quote summarizes the whole procedure. So Kate said Hoitzoras Shemra. How does that whole procedure of Hoitzoras Shemra work? Bala Beis Din. It starts with the husband coming to Beis Din with Omar, and he says he turns to the father of the Kala, and he says, Ploini, loy matzasi lebitcha besulim. I did not find that your daughter has besulim. And again, it means more than just he's saying she's not a besula. It means, as we're going to learn in the fourth parak, that it means he's saying that she was mizana during the erusin. So im yesh edim shezinza tachtav, if in fact there were edim to substantiate that she was mizana after the erusin, yesh lo ksuba mona, and she has a ksuba of 100. So the Gemara interjects one second. Yesh edim shezinza tachtav baskila, she gets skila. She's not getting any ksuba. What it means is the hachi kama. What the braisa means is im yesh edim shezinza tachtav baskila, if there were edim that she was mizana after the erusin, so she's already an eishesish, then she gets skila. And usually, by the way, the rule is usually an Eishes Ish only gets Chenet. But here, because of this din of Motzi Shemra, because she was a Naira Basula, then therefore she gets upgraded all the way to Skila. Well, we're going to talk about it in the fourth parak in detail. Anyway, continues the Braisa. But Zimsa Me'ikra, but if she had been Mizana before the Erusin, so then that doesn't answer her to him unless she was a Kohen, unless he's a Kohen. So actually, even if he's a Kohen, unless the man she was Mizana with is someone who would passel her, like we learned in Yevamos. Anyway, so if it was before the, if it's true that she was Mizana, but it was before the East, before the Erosin, so she's not Chayiv Misa, Yeshla Ksuba Mana, so therefore she still has a Ksuba, but it's only a Ksuba of 100 because she wasn't a Basula when they got married. And the Omer of Chiyaba Oven Omer of Sheshes, and Rav Chiya Ba'Avin says in the name of Rav Sheshes on this Braisa, Zois Emeris, we see from this Braisa, Konsa B'cheskas Ba'ula, that if the husband married the wife with a Chazaka, that she was a Basula, thinking that she was a Basula, the Nimtis Ba'ula, and it turns out that she in fact had relations already, Yesh Lo Ksuba Mana, then she still has a Ksuba of 100, because that's exactly what we're saying in this Braisa. Now that we fixed up the wording of the Braisa, that's exactly what we're saying, that in that case, she has a Ksuba, it's just a Ksuba only of 100. So we still haven't gotten yet how we know that Rava changed his mind. We first have to go through the whole discussion before we reach how we know that Rava changed his mind. Ooh, Masiv Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Nachman said, I have a contradiction to that. You're telling me that if he married her as thinking that she's a Basula, and it turns out that she's a Ba'ula, she has 100. It's not a Mekach Toros. But later on, we have a Mishnah later on, and Yudbeis and Yudbeis. Hanoseh Se'ishav Le'motzala Basulim. A man marries a woman, and he doesn't find Basulim. He emeres Mesher Astani Ne'enasti. She claims that after the Erosin, I was raped. So therefore, v'nistach v'sadehu, and therefore, your field is flooded. Like we said before, in other words, it's your bad mazel. So I don't lose anything of my ksuba, because when you were makadish me, I was already a basula. I was still a basula. And now that I'm not a basula anymore, it's not my fault. And it happened after you already makadish me, and therefore, it's your tough luck, and you still have to give me the 200. So that's her claim. He says, no, it happened before. It happened, or may have happened, whatever, before the Erosin, and therefore my kedushin of you to begin with was mekach tos. So now the implication is that he's saying the less laklal. So now he's saying that she shouldn't. Yeah, the implication seems to be that he's saying that she doesn't get a ksuba at all, because if a mekach tos, then he doesn't get it. Then there shouldn't be a ksuba at all. So Rav Sheshes, you're telling us that konsa b'cheskas b'sula v'nimtzes b'ula, then she gets 100. But from that Mishnah, it sounds like he's saying mekach tos, meaning nothing at all. And so that was Rav Nachman's question. Ve'omalahu Rav Chiya Ba'Avin, and Rav Chiya Ba'Avin says to them, or Lay says to him, whatever, Efshir of Amrav Chokudela Adur Yastvi Ki Amrav Sheshes Balsh. He says, it can't be that the Mishnah contradicts Rav Sheshes. Says Rav Chiya Ba'Avin, consider what the scenario was with it. Efshir, is it possible? Rav Amram Chokudela Adur Yastvi, Rav Amram and all the other great Talmid Chacham of that generation were sitting together, Ki Amrav Rav Sheshes Lahoshmait. When Rav Sheshes said this statement that she has a mona, the kashalahu, so don't you realize that they were all sitting over there, the kashalahu, they wouldn't have missed this Mishnah. They asked him that exact same question, Vishani, and he answered, my mekach tos nami mimosayim. You know what? When you say mekach tos, he doesn't mean that he wants to undo the whole thing and say, I shouldn't have to pay a ksuba at all. He wants to say that it should be 100 instead of 200. Alva mana isla, but she still was entitled to the mana either way. So ba'at amrith less laklal. So how do you, Rav Nachman, want to prove from that Mishnah that when he says mekach tos means he's claiming there should be nothing at all? Don't you realize that Rav Amram and all the other gdolei hador clearly explain that it means, in order to make the Mishnah fit with what Rav Sheshes says, that it means that he's saying only 100. Ve'omar Rava, so now we come in with what Rava says. So what Rava says, Manda Kamoisiv, actually the one who asked the question, meaning Rav Nachman, Shapir Kamoisiv, as a matter of fact, he had a very good question. Rav Chiya Ba'Avin, you're saying, how could Rav Nachman even ask the question if Rav Amram and everybody else explained the Mishnah differently? Because the fact is, Mekach Tos, the Gamri Mashma. The fact is, the word Mekach Tos seems to imply a complete Mekach Tos. Now, it's a doichek to say that it means only that he's saying 100 instead of 200. Mekach Tos usually implies just that it means that he's claiming nothing at all. That he's claiming I shouldn't have to give anything at all. So fine, Rav Amram and company may have said that it means only 100, but Rav Nachman has every right to say that. That's a big doich to say that way. And Rava says, so therefore, Rav Nachman has a very good question. How could you say that the Mishnah is saying that, how could Rav Sheshes say that she gets 100, that she gets 100, when the Mishnah seems to be clearly implying with the words mekach tos that she gets nothing? So the Ela Kashanach, okay, the problem still is then we have, so we're back to the Braisa that we said about Motzi Shemra, where we said once we fixed up the words of the Braisa, because we said the words of the Braisa the way we had it didn't make sense. It said that if she was Mizana during the Erisin, she gets 100, she doesn't, she gets Skila. So we had fixed it up to say that if she was Mizana before the Erisin, then she gets 100. Well, instead, Rava says, Tritzvei Mahochi. Instead, you can rework the wording of the Braisa as follows. If there were Edom that she was Mizana during the Erisin, then she gets Skila. Zinsa Meikra, if there were Edom, but that she was Mizana before the Erisin, Veloiklum, then she doesn't get anything because it was Mekachtos. Nimtzis, Mukas 8. But the Mishnah, the Braisa, would be implying that you have a third possibility, which is that she's a Mukas 8, and then Yeshla Ksuba Mana, and then we would say that she has a Ksuba of 100. So not necessarily. So we can, once we have to fix up the wording of the Braisa anyway, then we can fix up, then say that the Braisa is referring to various cases, one of them being where she's a Mukas 8, where then it's saying she gets a Mana. But in fact, the Braisa could in fact be implying, like we assumed originally, that if was that. That if there was a mekachtos, she would in fact forfeit everything. There wouldn't even be 100. So now that we have that, now Rava himself is the one who said that according to the Chachamim we had before, when we had Rami Bachama's understanding and then we had Rava's understanding, where Rava said that according to the Chachamim, if loy hikuba v'loy klum, that if you didn't know at the time of the marriage that she's not a basula, then she doesn't get anything. And now, so he said, and now all of a sudden he's saying that the Braisa is saying that if she's a Mukas 8. So we had before the case we were talking about, Rami Bachoma and Rava, was where he didn't know she was a Mukas 8 and he discovered that she's a Mukas 8. So Rava had understood the Chachamim to be saying that in that case, she still gets 100. Well, Rava had said there that the Chachamim would say she gets nothing. Here, all of a sudden, Rava is explaining the Braisa to say that she gets 100. Ela Shmamina Hodebe Rava Me'ahi. So obviously Rava must have changed his mind and said that we don't say mekachtos, that we don't say mekachtos completely. We do in fact say that she gets 100. So he agreed in the end with Rab Amram and company's understanding that mekachtos can mean a ksuba of 100 rather than no ksuba at all. And then it would mean that the later Mishnah, when we talk about where she claims Mukas 8, and he says you might need Duros Hasish, that would actually be even according to the Chachamim. We don't have to say it's appointed a mayor anymore. So the mayor would say she's claiming 200. The Chama saying she's claiming 100. And then we have Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua and Rav Eliezer arguing about that. Rava obviously changed his mind and said therefore that Mukas 8, whether Hikuba or Loi Hikuba, there is a Ksuba of a Mana. When he claims Mekachtos, he's not claiming complete Mekachtos, he's saying that he owes only 100. So we'll continue on that topic more in the next year, Be'ez Hashem.